Everyone, welcome back to the episode of the Calicon Blogcast. My name is Matthew. If that tune sounded a little bit familiar, you might have heard it before, but we're definitely going back to hacking that gate. Well, not necessarily a gate, but AI, if you want to technically count it like that. However, I'm not sure if AI has figured out a way to use a microwave or say, son of a bitch, but we'll figure that out eventually. But on today's show, we're going to dive into the world of ChatGPT, and we're going to go back and revisit our How to Survive a Convention series and ask ChatGPT the very same questions that we asked almost a year ago?
About a year.
About a year and a half.
With me to talk about that, I have Ryan.
You know, they said that AI wouldn't take over the world, but look how quickly it's advancing. Give it about a year or two, Skynet will become a real fucking thing.
Not before I get my waifus. Jericho?
Don't care, I'm playing Resident Evil 4 right now.
Hardcore mode, I'm assuming?
Okay. Yes.
And finally, Nate.
This is a reminder for those that are trying to find some games for your 3DS and your Wii U. The store is about to close by Monday, so
you have 3 days.
Get those games before it's closed, y'all. That's the reason why I'm playing Pokemon.
Which is not going to matter anyway, because by the time this podcast comes out, it's going to be past that Monday, and you're kind of SOL, so hopefully you're in the know by now.
This is the reason why I just got all my Pokemon games with me. So I have, like, Pokemon Blue, I have Crystal with me. That's all I can say. That's, like, it's the things I can play back with my Game Boy to say. So, yeah, it's just awesome. Just do it before time runs out, but for those that didn't make it, sorry about that.
Right, literary guys, Dawn of the New Moon, 72 hours remain.
Speaking of Dawn of the New Moon, as we talked about, we're going to dive into ChatGPT. But what exactly is ChatGPT? Well, ChatGPT is one of the most advanced artificial intelligence systems available today, capable of performing a high range of language-related tasks, from text generation to translation to answering complex questions and even composing music. But what exactly is ChatGPT? What makes it so unique? Well, to put it simply, ChatGPT is an artificial intelligence system that has been trained on vast amounts of text data, enabling it to understand natural language and generate responses that are both coherent and contextually appropriate. With its ability to learn and adapt to new information, ChatGPT is paving the way for a new era of intelligent machines that can interact with humans in a more natural and intuitive way. But with any new technology, there is also concerns about the potential impact of AI on a society and the need to ensure that these systems are developed and used in an ethical and responsible way. And here's the best part about that. I did not write that. ChatGPT wrote that.
Oh, well. ChatGPT, he's already even tried to self-define itself.
Can I get a goddamn sound effect here in the chat?
God damn!
So the thing is that if you know anything about ChatGPT, currently there are two versions right now. There's GPT 3.5, and then there is the more way advanced GPT 4, which is more creative. It's a little bit slower, but it's a lot more, like, it really thinks, and it comes up with the created stuff. I will preface this is that a lot of the questions that we asked when it comes to anime conventions and cosplay was from ChatGPT 4, which, by the way, is a $20 a month subscription through OpenAI. But if you're doing this, or you can do stuff like coding, like you could tell it, say,
make a hello world program in Python.
You can do hello world in Python. You can make it do JavaScript. You can make it do C++. It's insane.
That's so weird, because, like, for example, if I wanted to learn Python, I can actually go to ChatGPT and they can give me some pointers here and there about what kind of Python code you can make, you know, make a functioning program with Python, or make a functioning program with Java or C++, because that's actually going to be very helpful, especially if you're, like, an engineer or programmer. Definitely a learning tool.
So we're going to post on our show notes two documents from all my ChatGPT logs about when it comes to surviving an anime convention. The parts in bold is what I prompted, and then everything below it is what the AI responded with. So I'll start off with, I prompted, I need a guide about how to attend an anime convention, starting with planning before the convention occurs. This is assuming that a convention is going to be multi-day on a weekend. I would stay in a hotel room, and I'll need to travel since the convention is in another city. So it says, attending an anime convention can be an exciting and fun experience. Here's a step-by-step guide to help you plan and make the most of your convention weekend. Research and choose a convention. Find a convention that suits your interests by looking up popular anime conventions online, checking social media, asking friends for recommendations, and asking friends for recommendations. Consider the location, size, guest list, and schedule of events. Purchase and book accommodations. Purchase your convention pass, usually available online, as early as possible to get the best price. Book your hotel room near the convention center to make travel easier. Consider sharing a room to cut costs. We'll come back to you, number two. Plan transportation. Determine how you get to the convention, whether by car, bus, train, or airplane. Book your tickets in advance and research parking options if you're driving. Create a budget. Make a budget that includes expenses for travel accommodations, food, convention pass, and any merchandise you plan to buy. Don't forget to include a little extra for unexpected expenses. Research the convention schedule. Once the convention schedule is available, make a list of panels, workshops, and events you'd like to attend. Prioritize your must-see events, but be flexible in case of schedule changes or conflicts. Plan a cosplay, optional. If you plan a cosplay, choose a character and start working on your costume well in advance. Make sure your costume complies with the convention's rules and guidelines. Prepare a packing list and make a list of everything you need, including clothing, toiletries, cosplay materials, electronic devices, chargers, any necessary medications. Don't forget to pack some comfortable shoes, a water bottle, and snacks. Connect with other attendees. Join social media groups and forums related to the convention to meet new people, discuss cosplay ideas, and stay informed about updates and announcements. Plan early. Plan to arrive at the convention early each day to ensure you have enough time for registration, back checking, navigating the venue. Depends on what convention you're going to. Enjoy the convention. Make the most of your convention experience by attending panels, meeting guests, shopping in the dealer's room, and socializing with fellow fans. Remember to stay hydrated, take breaks when needed, and have fun. Document your experience. Take photos and videos to remember your convention experience. Share memories on social media and connect with new friends that you made at the event. Post-con. Unwind after the convention by sharing your experiences with friends and family. Start planning for your next convention and keep the excitement going by staying engaged with the anime community.
So all those points are actually pretty valid. They all are really valid.
They are.
Let's see. I guess we can go through each point. Do you guys want to like go through each of them and think it, like which one you can judge with and stuff? Or because like say for example, you go to a cosplay gathering. Definitely, everybody's gonna love your cosplay. Everyone's gonna love you that you're a fan of the show. And then you know people are gonna take pictures of you, and then people are gonna be sharing their social medias to you. And then you also interact with You interact with new people there too, which can become your new best friends in the convention scene. So
yeah, I wonder how we met, guys.
us in blue suits, right, Ryan?
I mean, Nate was of Auron. Me and Jericho were. Oh, geez, let's think back. Was it Persona Jericho or was it? Auron. It was dead. Oh yeah, it's Auron. Hey, oh, those were through Auron.
Auron AX or
yep. Fanime.
Oh my god. No. So, Auron Fanime for me. I met you guys in Auron AX. Oh, the Auron Fanime. Ryan and Matt. But I met Jericho, I think, on my first time going to AX, if I remember correctly.
You were part of the host club back then. It's like when we actually did our host club at AX. Jericho was there, you were there, Matt was there, Rachel was there, everyone was there.
Jeez.
Well, good times, guys.
good times. Fucking times. Yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
So, for the most part, this is all correct, right?
Unanimously, I say it's correct.
Now, hold on, though.
No. Yeah. Here's the thing about the transportation part. Like, it depends if you are actually like going to the convention back and forth, for example. But if you're staying at the convention, then you don't need to, you know, go back and forth for a convention. I think there was like one point that I wanted to bring up. Arrive early. yeah, arrive early for the pre-reg, but then after that, you don't need to really go back and forth for the convention. The arrive early part is more towards like if you're going back and forth for the convention in that case. That's my little criticism
there. But also it could mean like, for example, Anime Expo. You know, you have to go through that big ass line every day to get to the convention.
Right.
So arriving early.
Like other conventions like Fanime and KomoriCon, both of us, we don't really like go there early. We mostly go at our times that we think that we need to go there. Like for example, when we go for an interview, we have to be there on time.
Or Komori's a cakewalk though.
What?
If you really think about it, like Komori compared to like the other conventions we've all attended, like Komori's a cakewalk.
Well, Fanime is literally next door from our hotels.
I mean, well, there's no denying that either, but I mean, either way you look at it, like, we've never had any real issues, like,
there's no issues transportation-wise. It's just more towards, like, for those that plan to, not go to a hotel and then have to go back and forth from their house. That's more for those to arrive early, for sure.
Hey, Matt, remember the good AX2010 memories we had to make?
Which one?
Not the one of many we had.
You mean the one where I abandoned you for a fucking room party over at the West End and the Marriott, technically?
Where you found yourself at IHOP at 5 o'clock in the morning and don't remember a fucking thing?
Remember that? Now, I remember that IHOP somehow, some way. I don't know how.
You find yourself at IHOP. You don't plan to go there.
No, that's Denny's, bro. That's what you said. Denny's.
Wait. You don't go into Denny's. You just end up at Denny's.
IHOP's a whole different story.
I think that's the motto, right?
Yeah, that is the motto.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I have an issue with book accommodations. This is what I prompted afterwards. Booking a room for a convention should be done through the room block that the convention provides, and third-party websites should be generally avoided. Guess what ChatGPT said? You're absolutely right. Booking a room through the convention's room block is usually the best option for attendees.
That is true.
Yeah. Here's a revised version of the accommodation step. Purchase a convention pass, blah, blah, blah. Book your hotel room through the convention's official room block to secure a discounted rate to ensure that you're staying in a hotel that's partnered with the event. These hotels are typically located close to the convention center and may offer additional perks such as shuttle service and or other amenities. If the room block is sold out, explore other nearby options and consider sharing a room explore nearby options and consider sharing a room with friends to cut costs. Avoid using third-party websites as they may not offer the best rates and may have hidden fees. Shit, that sounds about right.
That's literally accurate. Here's the thing. It all depends on the convention, because let's say, for example, you purchase your convention pass and then you can book your hotel after. There's not that option, for example, Fanime. You can book your pass, but then you have to wait until the hotel block opens. Then it's pretty much a mad rush to get your hotel from there. So it all depends on the convention to say.
Yeah.
But it does make sense. It is accurate for sure.
Now I asked it about I want to drive. I said, what's the advantages of getting my own car and getting a rental car? So it said to use your own car, the advantages is familiarity. You're used to driving your own car and making navigation and handling more comfortable. Costs, no additional rental fees. Only the cost of gas and potential parking fees. Flexibility. You have full control over your own schedule. And you can change your plans without worrying about the rental car availability or return times. However, disadvantages, wear and tear. Long road trips can add mileage and cause wear and tear on your vehicle, potentially leading to maintenance costs. Breakdown risk. If your car is older and has a history of reliability issues, the risk of breakdown during the trip might be higher. Limited space. Depending on your vehicle size, you might have limited space for luggage, cosmetic materials, or passengers. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
But that sounds about right. I mean, like, you're pretty much putting a lot of wear on your car. And then, of course, when you're trying to pack up everything for the convention, your car could be full of stuff and you could be able to actually pack in passengers, to say, for the drive all the way down to the convention.
I don't have a bunch of cosplay shoes or board games. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Says you, Ryan.
But you know what, though? If you want to pack all that shit in there, let's get a rental car. Advantages. Less wear and tear. Using a rental car avoids putting extra miles and wear on your personal vehicle. Reliability. This might be bullshit. Rental cars are generally well maintained and have fewer chances of breakdowns during the trip. Nah, that's
bullshit.
I don't know. I would actually my two cents on that. I actually would agree on that, just because all the rental cars that I've used going down to ALA, for example, have been fine. I don't know about breakdowns and stuff.
You might have just got lucky, but that doesn't necessarily mean like you're gonna get like the best every time. There's gonna be that one time.
I have to say this though. I mean, like driving through the Grapevine in a very stormy weather, our car is fine.
Yeah, so, welcome to SoCal snow in the mountains.
The next one is vehicle options. You can choose a rental car that suits your needs. You can go with a larger vehicle for more passengers or luggage, or a fuel efficient option to save on gas. The disadvantages, though, is cost. Rental fees can be expensive, especially if you need insurance, coverage, or opt for additional features. Familiarity, driving, or a new unfamiliar car may take some getting used to. It could be uncomfortable for some drivers. And, of course, the big one, rental policies. Some rental companies have strict policies against mileage limits, return times, or additional fees.
That is all true. Yep. The thing is, yeah, it's true. Rental fees are expensive. If you are going to rent a car to get to your convention, that's a lot of budget that's going to be taken away from you, because it depends on how many days you're renting. And another tip I want to bring up, do not take the insurance coverage. I mean, you can take it if, say, for example, you're a bad driver.
Because your own insurance will cover it.
Well, that's true. But the other thing too is that some like perks come like, okay, so it's weird. My credit card actually does have like insurance coverage, for example. Like if you have rental insurance coverage, you can just use that from your credit card. So use that credit card and it will already have that insurance coverage for you. So it's like, don't take it. Just make sure you don't take it. Just like what Matt's following up on. But yeah, everything else does make sense. Like, It's all correct.
Next one I prompted is, what are some parking options while I'm there? It gives me a couple. It says, convention center parking. Many convention centers offer on-site parking, either in the garage or designated parking lot. This is usually the most convenient option, as it allows you to park close to the event. However, it can be more expensive and may fill up quickly, especially during peak hours. Hotel parking. If you take a hotel near the convention center, you may have access to the hotel's parking facilities. Some hotels offer discounted or complimentary parking for guests, while others may charge a daily parking fee. Be sure to check the hotel's parking policy when booking your room. Public parking. Look for the public parking garages in the lots or lots in the vicinity of the convention center. These options may be more affordable than on-site parking, but could require a short walk to the event. Research parking options in advance. Check the rates, availability, and operating hours. Street parking. Depending on the location, you may be able to find street parking near the convention. Be mindful of posted signs for parking restrictions, time limits, and payment requirements. Street parking can be less expensive, but finding a spot can be challenging, especially urban busy areas. Park and ride. Oh, no. We're chair carpooling.
leave your car at a park and ride spot and then take a bus.
I can see that scenario happening. Right share carpooling. Did he just fall back into the convention, you know, what parking option you're doing?
Yeah. I wouldn't suggest it. I mean, it definitely doesn't make sense. I don't know, park and ride.
So
I wouldn't recommend it, like I said.
So I'm gonna kinda do this out of order because I realized that hey, I have this. I then asked it to give me a hotel, a list of items to consider when budgeting for a hotel, and then items to consider when budgeting for the convention overall. For the hotel budget, the first thing is room rate, the cost of the hotel per night. Remember to factor in discounts for the booking through the convention's room block, if available. And usually what that'll do is basically just be a lower rate. So just keep in mind, you don't have to like subtract anything. It'll just be there in the exact number. Taxes and fees, clinical taxes, and additional fees to charge by the hotel, such as resort fees or service charges. And then parking. If you're driving to the convention, consider daily parking fee at the hotel or nearby parking facilities. For the overall convention budget, convention pass, the cost of the convention pass, which may vary depending on the type of pass you purchase, single day, weekend, VIP. We talked about hotel expenses. Transportation, budget for transportation to and from the convention, including gas, flights, train, or bus tickets, or any rideshare, taxi expenses. Meals, estimate the cost of meals during your stay, including breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. Merchandise, set aside money for any merchandise, arts, or collectibles you plan to buy at the convention. Cost of materials is optional. Budget for materials and accessories you plan to create a costume for the convention. Incidentals, budget for additional hotel expenses, such as Wi-Fi, room service, or pay-per-view movies. Usually cross that one off because no one's really doing that.
We don't do pay-per-view.
And then tips. Allocate funds for typical hotel staff, such as housekeeping, valet, or room service. And then the last one is emergency fund. Set aside a small amount for unexpected expenses, such as last-minute changes, additional fees, and emergencies.
Yeah, I mean, everything seems very accurate there. I have no issues with it, so yeah,
I'm doing it all in order how I prompted it, so I'm gonna take you guys to the very last prompt that I have so far, and that is how much should I save up, and include one answer with no cosplay and one answer with cosplay, and it gave me a list.
Oh, the how much should I save up? Yeah,
I'll read both because they're both almost the same figures. For a convention pass, it's $40 to $80. Hotel expenses for 3 nights shared with friends, $150 to $250. Transportation includes gas, flights, or public transit, range from $50 to $200. Meals for 3 days, $60 to $120. Merchandise, $100 to $300. Incidentals and tips, $20 to $50. Emergency fund, $50 to $100. So if you take the no cosplay option, it says to save about somewhere between $470 and $1,100. With cosplay, you can add on to another $100 to $500, depending on your complexity or other items that we'll mention in a separate section. And with cosplay, it comes about to about $570 to $1,600.
This is nowhere even close to AX, like, expectations, though. If we're talking like the small end, like, or at least medium sized cons like Fanime, Soccer Con, Komori, etc., that'll cover like these couple, like these.
So you say, but like it's getting higher when it comes to the convention passes now. So the range now is like maybe like $50 to $100 now when it comes to convention passes.
Part of it is also how you plan it out too. Like, say for food, you can probably save a lot of money by not eating out.
You can also bring. That's true. You can also bring your own food too. You know.
You can also be a son of a bitch and not tip.
Oh yeah, there's that option too. But you'd want to be that guy.
Here's the thing. For the meals part, it's kind of like that includes everything. That includes when you buy food at the grocery store, when you go out and eat. Because I'm sitting here, I'm like $60 to $120. Shit, that could be one day for me, depending on how baller stylist I want to be.
Here's the thing. Like, you can go to like a good food place out there. You don't need to spend. I think like for most part, I would say $20 for like dinner, maybe $10 to $15 for lunch. So it's like $35-$40. Yeah, for 4 days, $160 for food.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's if you're cutting it on the cheap, eating like really cheap fast food, but like given the a lot of gourmet options around the convention areas,
Here's the thing, convention food too. If you buy food at the convention center, then that will be that much for sure. It can be higher too.
But as we all know from experience, convention, like veteran convention, like bloggers, and not to mention also like veteran convention attendees, we all know better than to buy, unless it's like a last resort, to buy food from any convention center, whether it be the price quality.
I think one thing too to put in there too is also research food places around the convention. You can't just really say like,
we'll get to that in a moment. I asked that question, but the next one we'll go to it now. How do I decide where to dine out?
Okay, nice.
So the first one is location. Look for dining options within walking distance of the convention center or your hotel. Close proximity will save you time and transportation costs. Budget. Consider your budget when choosing a restaurant. Look for places that offer affordable options or specials. Alternatively, you can split out a fancier meal. It's when your means and preferences. Fuck yeah. Cuisine preferences. Take into account preferences of everything to eat in your group when selecting a cuisine. Consider trying local specialties or unique dining experiences that may not be available in your hometown. Dietary restrictions. Okay, no one has dietary restrictions. We can go on. No one's a vegan here on this podcast.
Sorry to anyone who might be.
Yeah. My condolences. Reviews and comment recommendations. Check online reviews such as platforms like Google, Yelp, or TripAdvisor for restaurant ratings and feedback. You can also ask convention staff, hotel employees, or local attendees for recommendations. Or you can ask us too as well. We will definitely recommend you a restaurant.
8 out of 10. I know my way around.
Wait times and reservations. Popular dining spots, their convention centers may have long wait times during peak hours. If a restaurant accepts reservations, consider making one in advance to secure a table. Because God forbid you actually want to go to a Denny's at 9 o'clock at night and everyone's there at Anime Expo.
God forbid, that freaking, what is it? What's that street? What's that street that we always end up on? Is that
Figueroa?
Yeah, the freaking Denny's in Figueroa. Forget that shit. If you're at AX, you're going to forget it. You might as well go somewhere else.
Yeah, let's go little to the Fat Burger next door.
Oh, yeah. Good times there, eh, Matt? Remember when we all met Harley Morrissey, not expecting to be at Fat Burger, but he was at Fat Burger? That was good times.
That was good times.
Yeah. And we ate a 4-pound burger and so completed it. We still haven't got our damn certificate yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I gave up after, literally 5 minutes of getting that certificate. I ain't ever going to get that shit. The next one list is takeout delivery options, which, yeah, I mean, depending on, I remember TayoCon 2015, we tried for the first time ever Domino's online ordering for takeout. I'm like, what the fuck is this? What? I can order pizza online? What? But yeah, it says here, if you prefer to eat at your hotel or need a quick meal between events, explore takeout or delivery options from local restaurants or food delivery apps. Food variety. To cater to different tastes and preferences, consider choosing a restaurant with a diverse menu or buffet-style dining. Ambiance and atmosphere. Think about the type of dining experience you want, whether it's a casual family-friendly environment or more formal upscale setting. And then finally, the one big one is operating hours. Check the restaurant's operating hours to ensure they align with your convention schedule.
There are, I mean, to say the least, your last resort is Denny's because it's open 24 hours.
Enough of your Denny's crusade over here. Don't give me another reason to say you're the fucking problem.
Okay? Unless you're at FanimeCon and then it's 3 a.m. Well, actually, no, 3 a.m. is when LeVix closes.
Yeah, at 3 a.m. you go to LeVix and get that awesome
orange sauce. No, they close at 3. They reopen at 6.
Well, nonetheless, I mean, just make sure you get there before 3 then. But still, you go to that spot to get that awesome orange sauce.
Or you can do what me and Matt did back in, 2012 at Fanime and did, 150 tacos.
2010, I believe.
We're from what? Jack in the Box?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'll find the video and I'll post it in our show notes.
Guys, you guys kind of forget. Back east in the Midwest, Waffle House. However, prepare to go get into the PvP arena as soon as you walk in.
If
you
first.
You know what, though?
They drew first blood, not me!
I would love being a drunk Yuri Kotsky going to fucking Waffle House.
And it just tells you we need to go to a Southern convention eventually, you know?
Texas,
Georgia. Well, hey, Anime Week in Atlanta. Let's go there.
Guys, we actually did the comparison In-N-Out versus Whataburger. We finally end the debate.
I'm curious about Whataburger.
I'm curious about just everything, in other places we haven't been to in California, like Bojangles or Waffle House, for example.
I've had Waffle House. It's pretty good, but yeah, the fights are for real.
I never had it.
I went to Missouri with my family, before my grandmother and godmother passed. Yeah, we've been to Waffle House. Yeah, it literally is PvP there.
This is why I'm kind of I want to see this PvP action.
Chantal says that Whataburger is pretty dank. But I don't know. I'm gonna have to take a first-hand look about this.
Let's get the hands-on experience when it comes to these restaurants. Soon, we'll see.
So the next one I prompted is, what are some tips for time management? And it says, first off, plan ahead. Review the convention schedule as soon as it's available and make a list of panels, workshops, and events you'd like to attend. Prioritize your must-see events and create a rough daily itinerary. Be realistic. Avoid overscheduling yourself by allocating enough time for breaks, meals, and relaxation. Keep in mind that popular panels and events may require waiting in line, so factor in additional time for queuing. Use a calendar or planner. Organize your convention schedule by using a digital calendar, planner app, or physical planner. Set reminders for important events and ensure you don't miss them. Group-related activities. Plan your day by grouping events and activities that are located close to one to each other with similar themes. This can help minimize the time spent between walking between events to reduce the risk of schedule conflicts. Arrive early. Plan to arrive at the convention center each day to allow time for registration, bag check, and navigation. Arriving early increases your chances of securing a good seat for popular events. Be flexible. Unexpected schedule changes and delays can happen, so be prepared to adjust your plans on the fly. Have backup options just in case an event is canceled or full. Utilize downtime wisely. Use breaks between events to explore the dealer's room, artist alley, or network with other attendees. You can also use this time to recharge your devices, grab a snack, or rest your feet. Prioritize self-care. Allocate time for proper meals, hydration, and rest to ensure that you have enough energy to enjoy the convention. Listen to your body, take breaks when needed. Delegate tasks, if applicable. When you're attending the convention with friends, divide responsibilities such as securing seats at events, picking up food, navigating the venue, picking up your drunk friend at 3 a.m. because he can't make it back to the hotel room, picking up alcohol for said drunk friend at 3 a.m.,
good times.
Matt, the last fucking time, I know you love me, but you gotta go to sleep, and I'm getting kind of tired of dragging you here, bud, but we gotta go.
I just remember that one time, you know, when you got drunk at like 2 a.m. and came into our room for a meeting.
Yeah,
thank God. Mandatory staff meeting. Talk about Tetris. Let's go.
Thank God nothing significant got mentioned there that day.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I looked at this scheduling thing. This is all irrelevant today if you go to AX.
Yeah.
There's
one more I want to mention, and this is the last one. It's reflect on your experience. At the end of each day, review your schedule and evaluate your time management. Identify areas for improvement and adjust your plans for the following day accordingly. I'm like,
fuck no.
Fuck that.
Whoa.
Areas of improvement. I mean, the thing is, like, in AX, there's no sign of improvement for sure.
No, I get to go and complain on Twitter. God damn it.
There's a reason why AX has a gripe session, guys.
This is why I can't go to the Iron Mouse and Sea Dog VA panel.
I was so fucking pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But luckily, I was able to catch the OVA premiere for Dr. Stone, so that was nice. Still, I was mad.
Yeah. I think for other conventions, this makes sense, but, like, again, for Anime Expo or the other bigger conventions, this is all irrelevant.
I also asked it, what are some essential food items I should bring with me? Not necessarily, like, buy at the convention, but, like, what should I bring with me? Like, what we do when we go grocery shopping on day zero. It says energy bars or granola bars. These are easy to carry, provide a quick energy boost. It can be eaten on the go. Trail mix or nuts. A great source of protein and healthy fats. Trail mix and nuts can help keep you energized throughout the day. Dried fruits like apricots, raisins, or banana chips are a sweet portable snack can provide a quick source of energy. Crackers or rice cakes, lightweight and easy to pack. Crackers and rice cakes can be paired with peanut butter, cheese, or hummus for a more filling snack. Nut butter. What? Oh, like
peanut butter.
Okay. So several serving packets of peanut or almond butter are portable, can be spread out on crackers, rice cakes, or eaten straight from the packet who the hell is eating
protein boost
peanut butter straight from a packet?
I mean, there's like the little sticks that have like the peanut butter or cheese with them. You can do it like that. I mean, that technically is a packet form of peanut butter.
Because I also would throw in here is you could buy a jar of peanut butter for almost the same price and have more peanut butter.
Use it for your sandwiches, yeah, when you make them.
You just want to keep bread on you the entire time and just have peanut butter sandwiches throughout the day, go for it.
Hold on. I think we get that at the bottom. I think I see it. But next up, we have jerky, beef jerky, or vegetarian jerky.
What does there's a thing. Like that?
It's a real thing. It's a real fucking thing. I actually was watching Good Mythical More about this, or at least I was watching my favorite YouTube channel, Good Mythical Morning, and it's like vegan jerky is a thing. It exists. It literally does. I haven't had it before, but I'm willing to try.
I'm going to try it. I just want to see if it actually is, you know, tastes good as compared to like regular beef or turkey jerky.
Yeah. Well, it, to finish off, it says it's a convenient source of protein that doesn't require refrigeration. Next up, we have fresh fruit. Apples, bananas, and oranges are easy to carry, don't require refrigeration, and provide a healthy, natural source of energy. Bottled water. Staying hydrated is essential, so make sure you bring a refillable water bottle or purchase bottled water at the don't buy bottled at the convention. Oh, go buy it over like at a grocery store.
Unless you want to spend $5 on water.
hot dog, water. It's like, oh, you want water? $3 for a bottle of water. Nah, fuck that noise.
And it's like a 16-ounce Kirkland water that you can get for $3 for like a 60-pack.
Yeah.
That or if you just want a single bottle of water, that's like 60 cents. Like go fuck yourself, outdoor vendors. I know you're trying to make that hustle, but no.
Electrolyte drinks is next. The sports drinks or electrolyte infused water can help replenish electrolytes and keep you hydrated during long convention days. Instant coffee or tea. Instant coffee, I mean, if you're staying at the hotel room, you don't really need instant coffee. I would say if you want, you could bring like powdered creamer, but I don't suggest that. Especially if you have a cooler, like ice chest, or like a mini fridge, buy like actual creamer.
If I could rebut something in this entire like section here, instant coffee or tea. What about if it's like, again, it doesn't have to be coffee or tea. What if it's like Mio or like a drink mix, or even again, we can talk about powdered Gatorade and like go like rebut any like all that, anything that is powder format, you can bring it with you and still get it into the convention.
I think it's under electrolyte drinks, but you could probably include a section about those type of other electrolyte powders too as well.
Well, even if it's drink mixes,
you can also put in like energy powder too, like
for example,
G Fuel or
the Gamer Grumps. You know, those kind of powder drinks. Nonetheless, it gets you energized, which helps you out in the convention.
Mm-hmm. And then pre-made sandwiches or wraps. Prepare simple sandwiches or wraps in advance using the ingredients that don't spoil easily, like peanut butter, jelly, or veggie. No, I don't have
veggie wraps, really?
Don't have
any veggie wraps. I mean, it could work, but then that would spoil.
You would wrap it around a lettuce, right? Like, it's a lettuce wrap.
But, I mean, you put it like in a tortilla, that works too. That's technically a veggie wrap, but like again, you have to worry about it not going bad over the entire day.
Like throughout the day, which to be fair, that will happen possibly.
All right. Here is the fun one. What is the best alcohol to bring with me? Now
here we go.
Now I wanna say something really quick. When I mentioned this in 3.5, it says it is generally not allowed to bring alcohol to the anime conventions, as most conventions have strict rules against alcohol consumption and possession. So it is best to not bring any alcohol with you. I'm like, what? That's hella bullshit. But that's on the ChatGPT 3.5. With 4, it actually gives me an actual answer for this.
Here we go.
It says, consider the following factors when selecting the best options. First off, personal preference. Choose alcohol that you and your friends enjoy. Popular choices might be clear beer, wine, or spirits like whiskey, vodka, or rum. Portability is second. Opt for alcohol in compact and lightweight packaging such as cans, plastic bottles, or small glass bottles. Avoid bringing large or heavy containers that may be difficult to transport. So what? Who the hell's bringing a keg to an anime convention?
It's going to be a complete kegger over the entire weekend. It's going to be complete benders.
You know? Costco, you can't bring a Heineken. You can buy a Heineken keg, but it's like one of those.
It's the smallest one.
Yeah, it's the smallest one, not the big one, you know. Nonetheless, it's still a lot of beer that you can bring in for a convention. Yeah.
But still, who's doing fucking Heineken or freaking like big old kegs, like having a freaking bender the entire weekend? Like,
The next one is, especially for Ryan, mixers and cocktails. If you plan to make cocktails, choose versatile spirits like vodka, rum, or gin that can be mixed with a variety of non-alcoholic beverages. Pack any necessary mixers or ingredients such as soda, fruit juice, or simple syrup.
Hey, man, I am the blog's, I won't say I'm not officially a bartender by any means, but at the very least, I do mix the drinks for the blog when we are all together in a contained room for the night. But definitely a lot of good mixers that I make for anyone who asks for a drink.
The next one on the list is low alcohol op. To pace yourself and stay in control during the convention, consider bringing lower alcohol options like light beers, white spritzers, or hard seltzers, a.k.a. pre-gaming.
Yeah, pretty much.
Matter if you have any basic bitches in your room.
The other thing, too, is that hard seltzers can also be a drink that you could party with, you know? Uh-huh. You know, get the white claws out. Let's drink, baby.
I don't get the next one because who the hell is not drinking alcohol? Well, there might have been like one or two people. There are some. So it says, keep in mind that not everyone may want to drink alcohol. Bring non-alcohol such as sparkling water, soda, or mocktail ingredients to ensure all attendees have something enjoyable to drink. You know what that sounds like? Mixers and cocktails.
It's just mixers. Just bring the soda and then we're just and then put it on a red cup and with
because by day I'm drinking Mountain Dew Baja Blast, but at night I'm drinking Mountain Dew Baja Blast with vodka.
There you go.
Or the alcoholic one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the new hard seltzer one. Yes. if it ever comes to California, that is, I haven't seen that here.
You see where I used to be from. I'm not gonna let that joke die, guys. I'm sorry.
But you're from here.
See where you're from. That was like years ago. Now you're here, bro.
That was only a year ago, guys. Come on, cut me some slack. Besides, Oregon's always gonna be a second home.
Here is the last one, and the really, really one that you will hone on it instantly. Drink responsibly.
Yeah, Matt.
Remember to drink in moderation. Follow the convention's alcohol policies and never drink and drive. Be aware of the legal drinking age and local laws in the area where the convention is being held.
In case you weren't driving that night.
No, that's where I'm held accountable.
There's also one here that doesn't... There's also listed to here. It's like, when packing alcohol, make sure it's stored securely to avoid breakage or spills. That is very true. When you're transporting it by car, by train, whenever, make sure it's packaged good so that it doesn't break while in transport.
That is true. You don't want that to break, especially having it all over your luggage.
I also asked, give me a list. So it gave me an entire list. I'm not going to go through all of it. Although it feels like this is it has base knowledge of COVID because it mentions bringing face masks with you.
Well, it all depends on the convention, remember?
Yeah, that is true.
Still want masks, some don't, and most of the cons don't anymore, but yeah.
And then I also told it to say, hey, what are some do's and don'ts when staying in a hotel room? However, it is like a who's who of do's and don'ts. There is one that I love at the very end. It says, don't forget to turn your room key or key card upon checkout.
We don't do that.
I keep my keys as souvenirs.
Yeah. I mean, there's always the collectible ones too. AX, especially with the Fate ones, with all the different ones they've done over the years. Like, nah, dude, I'm not going to give my key card back.
I think most of Fanime too, because Fanime has their own designs that they use for hotel keys. And they do it for the Marriott, Hilton, the Signia, and the Hyatt place. So no doubt that is a good Fanime thing to keep.
They're good for autographs too.
Also, I love this one. It says, don't engage in illegal activities or conduct that violates hotel policies.
When has that ever stopped anyone?
Let's not talk about that. But then again, all the hotel, all the convention attendees would technically... We'll break them eventually. I mean, we've seen a lot of room
complaints. Someone's got to ruin it for somebody, you know?
We've seen a lot of noise complaints around our hotels whenever we go around conventions, you know?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, guys. There's always the occasion. No, I'm not even going to say occasional. There's always going to be that one room party. There's always going to be that one kind of party we don't talk about. And then...
What?
Yeah, those assholes over at the Westin fucking with the fireworks ruined for everybody. Some asshole decided to launch fireworks from the Westin.
Stupid.
No. It sucks because around the pool area at the Westin during AX, every fucking year there was like a there's like a party right there, like in the courtyard. And the hotel staff was like, yeah, whatever, we'll let you do it. Just don't, you know, do something, do anything not
in
stupid.
In the fucking room, though. Why would you do
that? No, it's literally there in the courtyard. Like oh. So many people go. But, you know, the hotel turned a blind eye. But then someone decided to launch some fucking fireworks from there. And guess what? No more
fireworks.
Courtyard party.
Oh.
Yeah, they ruined for everybody.
It's the one in front of the courtyard in AX, right?
No, it's the one in front of it's at the west end, like at the side, like with the bridge.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a popular late night hangout spot.
I see. Okay, but I mean, I haven't been there, but still, that looks like fun. But yeah,
it was fun. And now
it was fun.
Now it's ruined.
That's gone.
Well, I mean, LobbyCon's been ruined for a lot of us too now.
We still have a lobby con in like all our conventions, though. I mean, Fanime still has their lobby con, but then
most of the AX lobby cons have been shut down.
No, those lobby cons are still in the JW, aren't they?
No, the JW ones have been shut down last I remember.
I can't. Oh, really? That sucks.
Because, like, another I have to remember too.
That's because it's been co-opted by Crunchyroll. Remember?
Well, I mean, yeah.
All right, so Crunchyroll co-opted
the lobby.
Yeah, they corrupted the lobby so that the people who like are hanging at Crunchyroll, they just can chill over there in the lobby now. Although you need some hookups if you want to join them.
I posted a video in our Discord. I'll post this in our show notes. Have you guys seen this video?
Not this video. I remember this. Oh, God.
Yeah. Do I even want to know?
Oh, so
did you not watch this one? This is this is well known.
Oh,
this is a well known video.
This is okay. So when it comes to like the don'ts of this entire list, that Furfest con that I linked to from Internet Historian breaks all of those rules.
Yep.
Like
I just have this background noise, but it just tells you like what to do. Oh, and I know Crinkling now because of this stupid video. Oh, God,
I don't even want to know. I'm almost scared to hit.
Oh, just watch the video and you'll know what crinkling means.
They call it crinkling after the noise it makes when they walk around. And yes, some of these diapers are full.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, crinkling.
No.
Okay. Okay. So, is there anything that I missed here that you guys want to ask ChatGPT?
So wait, we're on the what to do and don'ts of staying in a hotel.
No. Now we're at the point where it's like, is there anything from this overall list that I missed that you want to ask ChatGPT about? When it comes to surviving an anime convention,
I mean, all the points are pretty much all there. Like,
will Senpai finally notice me at con?
No, but the thing is, like, everything I think is on point. It's really crazy how an AI can give you all these right answers, like all accurate answers and all. So, you know, it's a really awesome guide to have. Maybe the next Google, let's say.
I would use appliances and facilities in a manner they were not intended for. Come on, I want to make my grilled cheese with a freaking iron, man. Come on.
Oh my God.
Oh, guys, check the updated doc.
Oh, huh?
Well, Senpai finally noticed me. I cannot predict the future of personal interactions. So you'll never know what might happen or what you might need. Good luck, and maybe Senpai will indeed notice you.
Oh. He's the Trace Mary and Joseph.
ChatGPT will not help you.
ChatGPT, but he knows when Senpai will notice you.
All right, I'm going to take one out of my personal book. Is it a good or bad idea to get engaged or wed at a convention?
Dude, Brian.
I fuck it. I don't care. We're going for it.
Or get married?
Either like get married or get engaged at a convention. Yeah, we'll go with it. We'll run it. Run it. Fuck it.
Aw, dude.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
No. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live.
Oh, okay. Whether getting engaged are married at an anime convention is good or a bad idea. It depends on the individuals involved and their personal preferences. Pros.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Pros.
Pros. Number one, shared interest. If both partners are passionate about anime and convention culture, it can be meaningful and memorable setting for such an important milestone. Number two, unique experience. A proposal or a wedding at an anime convention will undoubtedly stand out and will create lasting memories for both the couple and their guest. Number three, fun atmosphere. The convention environment can provide an exciting and lively backdrop for the event with a built-in source of entertainment. Number four, cosplay opportunities. The couple and their guests can incorporate cosplay or other themed elements into the celebration, making it a unique and personalized experience. Cons. Limited privacy. Proposing or getting married at an anime convention means that sharing the moment with potentially thousands of strangers, which may not be ideal for couples who prefer a more intimate setting. Logistical challenges. Organizing a proposal or a wedding at a convention can be complicated, requiring coordination with convention staff, vendors, or other participants. Cost. I'll get back to that in a second. Cost. Hosting a wedding at a convention could be more expensive than a traditional venue, depending on the scale and additional services required. Guest preferences. The final one. Some friends and family members may not be interested or familiar with anime conventions, making it potentially less enjoyable for them.
This is more towards Ryan, not everybody.
Well, no, no. The problem is, I can relate to logistical challenges.
Because you set this up, right?
Well, no, because so what Ryan's referring to is what happened at Anime Expo 2013. If you know the story, you know the story at this point. But I was the one organizing, trying to get Ryan and his partner in to have the proposal after the time. And I wish there was the video for this, because when you watch the Persona gathering at AX 2013, and you watch the full video, as the shoots are going on and on and on, you see me in the background trying to wheel and deal with the organizers because they don't want to do it. And I convince them to do it. And then it finally happens. So definitely logistical challenges is something I can definitely, relate to. But yeah, this is, I just posted it in, I just updated the doc for Hazard's Private Convention.
You know, yeah. The funny thing is, Matt, is like not only was it in your involvement, but like I honestly asked prior to like before you started, like everyone was like, okay. So there were some people that were not really like for me at the time at that convention, or at least at that particular gathering at that time. However, I did talk with the gathering organizer at the start, and he was okay with it. And then the rest of the group was okay with it. They were kind of excited to see it. In a video that we have kind of delisted for the time being for reasons, if we were to post it again, you actually hear in the background, it's them. So it's like people are actually getting excited for that actual.
Did any of the people that attended the Persona gathering know about it?
It was in the thread. It was exactly in the AX and the cosplay.com thread. Like I assure you it's there.
I could probably go back and take a look. But the reason why I said this, because we have an AX 2013 like a montage roll where I sped up all of the footage, and part of that footage that you see is from the gathering, and then that's where if you slow it down, you can kind of see me in the background. I'll post a link here, but you can if you see the part where we're talking about, and you slow it down, you can kind of see what's happening. But that is how I just remember it. Is there anything else that we have here before I move on to specifically cosplay?
I have something for the cosplay, but we'll go there later.
All right.
When are the best? When is a good time and when is a bad time to try to get an autograph from a guest or attend or either or a guest or how do I put this? Yes, or vendor.
Never.
To what?
When is the best time to try to get an autograph at a convention, whether it be a guest or a particular guest at a vendor?
You line up the night before.
To get an autograph with the guest at their own booth or with
the convention.
Or with here are some guidelines on whether or not it might be a good or bad time to approach a guest for an autograph. A good time to get a autograph is during the scheduled autograph sessions. Check the convention's website for designated autograph sessions with the guests. It's maybe the best time to get an autograph as the guest is prepared and is expecting to sign items for fans. Number two, guest panels or Q&A sessions. While you shouldn't interrupt the guests during the panel or Q&A, you try approaching them afterwards once the event has concluded and they have left the stage. Be respectful and polite and understand they might be busy or have other commitments. At their booth. If the guest has a booth at the convention hall or artist alley, you can visit them during the convention's regular operating hours. Make sure to follow any posted guidelines regarding autographs or merchandise purchases. Bad times. During a panel or Q&A session. Oh, interrupting a guest while they're speaking. Interrupting a guest while they're speaking or presenting is disrespectful and disruptive to an event. Wait until the panel or Q&A session has concluded before approaching them. During a meal or break. If you see a guest eating or taking a break, respect their privacy and personal time. Allow them to finish the meal or break before asking an autograph. In a restricted area. If a guest is in a backstage or a staff-only area, do not attempt to follow them or request an autograph. These areas are off-limits to convention attendees and should be respected. Okay, this one may or may not be true. It says, and the last one is outside the convention venue. While it might be tempting to approach a guest outside the convention, such as their hotel or... Oh, if you're stuck in a hotel, I have issues with you. Or a nearby restaurant, which is the better option. It's best to respect their personal time and space. Stick to designated autograph sessions and other appropriate opportunities within the convention setting.
But what if it's, like, candid? Like, let's put it this way. Like, for example, TayoCon, for instance, when we accidentally ran into Kawamura and Harada-san, you know, it's like that one opportunity in the hallway. We weren't really like expecting to run into him, but like, what if it's like candid experiences like that, or like the time that we ran into American McGee and the voice of Oogie Boogie on the elevator at SAC Anime? Like, what about those kind of experiences?
I think it's stick to the stick outside the convention venue. I mean, you can try it and see what happens, but don't expect.
You'll be that guy.
Yeah,
just don't be that guy. Don't be the guy to ask for an autograph, especially when they're just walking around. If anything, I can go back to a story back when I went to the first ever Crunchyroll Con when Butch Hartman used to be was a guest there. There was one time where he was just chilling at the bar, and like we were looking at him. It's like, oh, dude, that's Butch Hartman. That's Butch Hartman. Should we approach him? And then I understand it's like privacy stuff and all that, but there are other attendees that actually approached him. And so we just tagged along with him and just took a picture with him, you know, just a selfie, say like, hey, we met Butch Hartman.
Oh, mob mentality, huh, Nate?
Yeah, that was like years ago.
Well, I mean, if we look back at it too, again, going back to Tayo, there was that one candid time where we were just hanging out with staff. And the next thing you know, like me and Matt, next thing like a couple minutes later, there's Lotus Juice and Kyle Murison just hanging out in the lobby. We're drinking with them.
Or just like what happened at FanimeCon one time, where we were literally just playing in the game room, and members of X5 came over to play along with us too. So that's very candid, and obviously we could take a photo with them there, I would imagine, with their permission, obviously. But here's the thing, it's like, those are pictures, not autographs. Autographs is more like, dude, do not engage with autographs. Anything, just take a photo and go. That's it.
Yeah, if anything, the convention venue thing might be more of a play of getting a photo, but then what's the worst they can say is no. Yeah, you know, they're not gonna eat you or anything like that.
Yeah, they're not gonna eat you. They just say like no and then just go along with it. Do not really like say I really want it.
Don't persist.
We mentioned cosplay during this whole ChatGPT thing, and I did ask it, I need a guide to find the perfect cosplay to wear at an anime convention. It actually gives me a step-by-step guide to help me choose a costume that best suits my interests, skills, and budget. First off, is choose your favorite anime game or other pop culture source. So start thinking about any of those. This will help narrow down your choices and ensure that you'll be passionate about your cosplay. Number two, select your character. Pick one that you identify with or find one that you find interesting or inspiring. Consider the personality design and how recognizable they are among the fandom. That last one is bullshit because somebody will recognize you no matter who you are. There will be one person at least to recognize you.
I mean, you could be that niche character where someone may or may not, or the majority might not recognize you, but unless they're dedicated.
True. It's fucking true, dude. Like, no, for reals. I remember this past Anime Los Angeles. Like, I recognized someone who's doing, like, a cosplay from Ace Combat. How do I know? Nobody really recognizes a flight suit when you see one. But hey, guess who played Ace Combat? And guess who thought it was Hua Jin from Ace Combat 7? She was super happy. So, yeah, man, like, someone's gonna recognize your cosplay somewhere, and honestly, yeah, that's the moments you live for.
It's okay, I've had that experience, too, back in, it was 2010. I was cosplaying as Rin Tsuchimi from Shuffle. Not many people remember Shuffle unless you played the visual novel or actually watched the anime. I ran into someone who was actually cosplaying as an Irene. I was like, oh my God, someone actually recognizes, like, I recognize her, and then she recognized me, and then, like, we're all kind of fangasming. So it's like, yeah, it's kind of nice to have a character, or, like, from an anime, maybe not everyone's watched, but if you have that one person that recognizes you, it's like, that absolutely just makes your day.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We're getting to this point where Junpei is becoming an unrecognizable character within the fandom. That is sad. Or at least when they don't see as often. I mean, I would imagine
after P3 came back, it would probably have the recognition again.
Yeah, but well, this, I mean, this,
take, well, think well, about it though.
What about that new hotness from Persona 5X?
Oh god!
So I want to put my story when it came to, like, getting recognized with cosplay, because one show that I cosplayed in ALA was Amphibia, and to be fair, not a lot of people cosplay Amphibia, but it was kind of crazy, like, how many people come by and say, like, "Oh my god, I love your Anne cosplay! Oh my god, I love your Anne cosplay!" You know, this and that. It just tells you, like, okay, people still know the show. It's amazing, awesome, you know. And then the other thing too is that other fans also, like, recognize you by your cosplay. So, like, other characters, like, other people that you haven't seen that are in the same show cosplaying, they come to you, they'd be like, oh my god, hey, it's Marcy, it's Sasha, it's Spring, and everybody. And I'm like, oh crap. Then we started to hang out a lot. I mean, I remember, like, in day two where I was cosplaying somebody else and then Anne, but then all these other Amphibia cosplayers just know me being the other character from the Owl House, and we all started to socialize, like, for 15 minutes talking about the show, et cetera, et cetera. You know, those kind of experiences. That what makes a convention fun, you know?
Like, another example I'll just say is the time I was cosplaying as Keitaro Urashima from Love Hina. I mean, I kind of knew about Love Hina, like, kind of growing up. I didn't really look into it too much until, like, my teenage years. I started reading it, and then I started watching the anime, and it's like, I got really inspired to cosplay Keitaro. I actually had and Usa-chan, no, not Usa, oh god, that's Oran, Tama-chan, a mission for me, and then no one recognized me unless I had either the outfit, or at least I had the Tama hanging on my head. It's like, oh my god, it's Keitaro, I haven't seen you actually know of Love Hina? It's like, yeah, surprisingly, I'm surprised you actually know, and it's like, it's just kind of funny to either run into other Love Hina characters, or just to have people, again, does people recognize something that an anime from an older time in a modern era? Like, it's interesting to see that the fandom still exists even in today's time.
Are you what? No, you'll be gobsmacked to find anybody that actually knows Love Hina with the new crowd these days. Like, okay, $5 says if you mention the name Naruto Sagawa or Kitaro Urashima to somebody, like, to some new fan, like, sorry to go off tangent, but, like, to, like, you know, some Gen Z kid, are they going to figure that out? No, man. They grew up watching the stuff we saw on Toonami, man. No way.
Well, no, not even that. Well, Love Hina was around the Toonami era. You're probably saying something more like, oh, I don't know who.
Maybe late Toonami.
Well, actually, I was going to use more of an example. I don't know who these characters are, but I know who all the characters from Rent a Girlfriend is. I like Rent a Girlfriend. I know Chizuru. I know Chizuru. I know
Chizuru.
I don't care about mommy because I'm mommy.
Who's the blonde again? Oh, ew.
Mammy and Teaser.
No mommy's way, Vindale.
Be that bitch.
Fuck that Vindale.
So the next one it goes is evaluate your cosplay skills and resources. Assess your current skill in crafting, sewing, and makeup. Determine whether you'll need help from your friends or if you'll need to learn new techniques. Also, consider the budget for the costume as well as time you have before the convention. Research the character design. Gener reference images and study the character's design in total. Take a look at colors, fabrics, accessories, or specific makeup or body paint requirements. Plan your cosplay. Break down the costume into individual components such as your clothing, accessories, props, wigs, and makeup. Create a list of materials and tools you'll need and create a timeline for when you'll complete each part, aka the day of the convention. Obtain materials and start crafting. Repurchase or repurpose materials for your costume. Begin constructing your cosplay starting with the most complex parts. Give yourself ample time to practice and perfect new skills. Practice your character's poses and expressions. Familiarize yourself with your character's signature poses, facial expression, and mannerisms. This will help embody the character at the convention and make for better photos. Test out your cosplay before the convention. Try on your entire cosplay, including makeup accessories, before the event. This allows you to make any necessary adjustments and ensures you're comfortable wearing the costume for an extended period. Pack your cosplay essentials. So pack for a survival kit, which includes a small sewing kit, makeup for touch-ups, comfortable shoes, water, and snacks. And then finally, enjoy the convention. Have fun showing off your cosplay at the event, participating in panel competitions, and connecting with others who share your interest.
They're all pretty much straight to the point there.
Test your costume before the convention? No! Fuck that shit! We're gonna do it live!
Just a heads up, for packing your cosplay essentials, pack everything. Make sure you don't miss out on a certain accessory. Make sure you don't miss out on your wig. because you don't want to go back home and forget that. To have to be impromptu the next day when you have to debut your cosplay or something.
God forbid I have to be Kitaro without my Tamachan, because then I'm just gonna be that random cosplayer, or at least they don't even know who the fuck I am, or at least just, oh, you're just that guy, you're just like another attendee.
You're just a regular cosplayer, you're just some schlub. You're just a regular school uniform anime dude.
School uniform? Like, he didn't even have a uniform.
He's casual.
That shit's like Jonathan Colton chic?
Nonetheless.
I'm pretty sure I broke a lot of these rules when I was making my cosplays, but that's totally fine.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
At least you have ChatGPT to help you out now.
I know.
Now, what if you want to attend a cosplay gathering? So follow this guide. First off, find a gathering or an event. Start by searching for cosplay gatherings and events near you. Social media, cosplay websites, and forums are good places for information. Look for gatherings that align with your interests, whether specific fandom or general cosplay meetup. Register and review event details. Once you've found an event, register if necessary and review the event details. Take note of the date, time, location, and any admission fees or requirements. Choose your cosplay. Select a character that you enjoy and feel confident portraying. Consider the theme or fandom of the gathering when making your choice. A specific event, try to cosplay from that series or theme. For the general gathering, you have more freedom in your selection. And then prepare your cosplay. We already know that from the other steps. Plan a travel accommodations. We'll mention this because there's gatherings like, for example, NorCal cosplay gatherings, CBCG that's happened, and the other ones. If the gathering is local, plan transportation to and from the event. If you need to travel, book accommodations and transportation in advance. Make sure you have a secure place to store your belongings during the event. We mentioned essentials. Arrive early. Give yourself plenty of time to arrive at the gathering and get into your cosplay. Assume you don't walk up to the gathering in cosplay already. Arriving early will allow you to meet and socialize with other cosplayers and take photos before the event begins. Network and socialize. Introduce yourself to other cosplayers and attendees and engage in conversations about your shared interest. Exchange social media handles or contact information to stay in touch with new friends. Participate in activities. Join any scheduled activities such as photo shoots, contests, or workshops. Be respectful of other attendees and follow any rules or guidelines set by the organizers. talk about your experience, take photos and videos, collect, we'll talk about the conventions, put on social media, tag it. Thank the organizers and say your goodbyes. Before leaving, special gratitude to the organizers and volunteers. Say goodbye to your new friends and make plans to attend future gatherings together. Anything?
Sounds a lot like us.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I guess that, I mean, to be fair, that's all accurate. I got nothing to say about, like, anything to rebuttal when it comes to this attending cosplay gatherings. It's good.
Now I asked it for a guide on how to participate in a masquerade.
Look, I'm not going to be attending a masquerade, but go ahead.
Let's see. I want to see this.
All right. Number one, research the masquerade rules and guidelines. Start by familiarizing yourself with the event's rules and guidelines. Pay attention to requirements for pre-registration, costume craftsmanship, performance duration, or any other restrictions. Choose your cosplay and performance concept. Select a character or group of characters that you feel passionate about and have a compelling idea for performance. Consider the theme or fandom of the event, as well as the character's recognition among the audience. Develop your performance. Outline a performance that showcases your cosplay creativity. Your performance can include elements like singing, acting, lip-syncing, or martial arts. Keep in mind the time limits, stage dimensions, and any prop special effects you'll need. Register for the masquerade. Complete the registration process for the masquerade, providing information about your cosplay performance and any group members and assistants you'll have. Prepare your cosplay. Construct or purchase your cosplay. We already know that. Ensure your cosplay adheres to any rules or guidelines set by the masquerade organizers. Rehearse your performance. Practice our performance regularly. Pay attention to timing, stage presence, and any choreography or stunts you'll be performing. Make any necessary judgments to ensure a smooth and polished presentation. Record your audio or background music. Create a high-quality audio track for your performance, including any dialogue, sound effects, and background music. Edit a track to fit within the time limits and submit it to organizers if required. Prepare for craftsmanship judging, if applicable. If the masquerade involves craftsmanship judging, be ready to discuss your costume's construction and any techniques you use. Bring progress photos and references images to show the judges. Attend the pre-masquerade meeting and rehearsal. Most events will have a pre-masquerade meeting and stage rehearsal. Attendees to receive important information, practice on stage, and address any last-minute concerns with the organizers. Get ready on the day of the masquerade. Provide early to the event. Allow ample time to get to your cosplay and make any final adjustments. Warm up and do any necessary mental preparation before your performance. Perform your best. When it's your turn to perform, stay focused and enjoy your time on stage. Remember that the audience is there to support and appreciate your efforts. Support your fellow participants. Cheer on and support other masquerade participants both on and off the stage. Compliment their costumes and performances and share the excitement of the event. And finally, await the results and attend the award ceremony. Be gracious whether you win or not. Congratulate the winners and thank the judges and organizers for their efforts.
Yep, pretty much all straightforward there. Jericho?
I have masquerade experience too, damn it. Don't keep me out of this.
Are you award-winning?
No, I'm not award-winning, but I am. I'm still, no, I will not. I have the gratitude just like the last statement does, so don't keep me out of this conversation.
No, it's all about rubbing it in with your big dick award inside a framed plastic frame. Say, oh, look at me.
I would be thankful for being in a masquerade if it wasn't for the fact that you allowed 3 Hadi Hadi Yukai skits in the same masquerade.
Oh, God. Was that 07?
I believe.
With Ryan's masquerade?
Oh, wait, no. Ryan's masquerade was 09. Mine was in 08. I was in an Ouran group.
Oh, and you're doing Hari Hari Yukai?
No. God, no. We actually had an original skit with Ouran. Oh, but the problem, if you remember 2008, the first skit of the masquerade was Hari Hari Yukai. The last skit of the masquerade was Hari Hari Yukai. One of the skits in the middle was Hari Hari Yukai. Yes.
Everybody was addicted to Haruhi Suzumiya. You can't do much about it.
Yeah, it was 2000.
It was only a year old at that point.
Yeah. We're not going to wait here.
Hard shit.
So it makes sense. Why everybody would just go to the dance and just do it. I mean, it was a notable dance. Everybody knows the dance by now.
Not anymore.
I still do.
I mean, still do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do the youngins know about it?
No, they don't.
Oh, come on. Exactly. There are some people today that know about Haruhi-ism. Come on. I will refute that.
Well, yeah, all we just got to say is, do you want to hear, how's the phrase go again? What? Do you want to hear, how's it go? Can I tell you about our Lord and Savior, Haruhi Suzumiya?
Oh.
I'll let it that.
I mean, she is a goddess.
Save it for a couple weeks from now, damn it.
So, I also didn't ask it. I want to do a photo shoot. Can I get a guide? So, first off, it says, find a photographer. Search for photographers who specialize in cosplay or have experience shooting similar styles. Look for recommendations from fellow cosplayers, browse social media, and check out photographers for photos at conventions or online. Contact the photographer. Reach out to the photographer, discuss your cosplay, the concept of the photo shoot, and their availability. Ask about pricing, packages, and additional fees for editing or prints. Plan the photo shoot. Collaborate with your photographer to create a plan for the shoot, including location, date, time, or any specific shots or poses you'd like to include. Share references, images with your character, and examples of the type of photos you'd like to achieve. Choose a location. Select a location that complements your cosplay and fits the theme of your characters or series. Consider factors like accessibility, lighting, and potential distractions or interruptions during the event. Prepare your cosplay. Ensure your costume, accessories, and props are in excellent condition and are ready for a photo shoot. We talked about that already. We talked about posted expressions. We talked about that. Communicate with your photographer. Maintain open communication with the photographer leading up to the photo shoot. Discuss any changes or plans, share updates on your cosplay progress, and ask any questions you may have. All right, be prepared. We talked about that. Collaborate and trust a photographer. During the photo shoot, be open to photographers' suggestions and trust their expertise. Communicate your ideas and preferences, but also be flexible and willing to try new poses or angles. Take breaks and pace yourself. Don't be afraid to take breaks during the photo shoot to rest, hydrate, or touch up your makeup. Pacing yourself will help you maintain your energy and enthusiasm about the session. Review and select photos. After the shoot, your photographer will likely provide a selection of proofs that you can choose from. Select your favorite images and discuss any specific edits or retouching you'd like. And then finally, share and credit a photographer. When sharing your photos online or on social media, always credit the photographer and provide a link to the portfolio and social media profiles. This helps to support their work and fosters a possible relationship for future collaborations.
I have very little, like, when it comes to photographer experience, since there was, like, one time I was cosplaying as Vincent from Catherine. It just so happens that a friend of a friend of mine was actually cosplaying as Boss, and there was a Nightmare Catherine as well. I mean, just kind of working with that kind of shoot was a little bit fun. Sure, I was just, like, a side piece, more of anything, but I was able to actually work with the photographer and the other two participants. Got some pretty good shots out of that. I will say that was a pretty fun experience. I can say from shooting for quite a few times that we've got for Matt, there's like either times where they shoot around the convention or there's times that we've done like really I wouldn't really say initially candid, but like we were just like going around the convention and just we've just found like really good like spots out of nowhere, or like, for example, the disappearance Junpei shot that from Sac Anime that one year. Like, there's been so many like times that I've shot for Matt that he wasn't expecting to be a good shot, but it actually was a lot better than we expected.
Yeah, I think I remember that one. That it was just like, let me just do something. It was just like one of the most, I want to say, iconic poses that we've done that we have not been able to recreate. We have been able to recreate that. Like I've been trying to do that for like for the last 10 years. Like, I cannot recreate that shot for my life now.
You're welcome.
Thanks. I also, there's two more that I have pre-planned. One is, what are the advantages and disadvantages of buying a cosplay and making my own cosplay? So for buying a cosplay, the advantages is time saving, purchasing a pre-made costume saves you time and effort of creating one from scratch. Convenience. You can order easy cosplay online and have it delivered to your doorstep. Consistent quality. Many reputable cosplay retailers offer costumes with a consistent level of quality, ensuring a well-made product. Yeah. Maybe.
What?
Maybe. Depends.
Really, really depends. Talking from experience on both sides of the
look, buying a cosplay definitely feels not well made, especially if you're buying from certain areas, you know.
Yeah, you know, the ones that, you know, ones from across the pond going out of the Pacific.
Hey, I'm not going to necessarily say anything out of, like, Japan. Sure, maybe we can talk about the other nation, but I, outside of that, there have been times I've ordered cosplay from across the pond, and it still turned out pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least turned out really
well. Yeah, they do, but the thing is, like, sometimes they're, like, small, some of them, like...
Well, hold on, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. The next one is no crafting skills required. Buying a cosplay is an excellent option if you like the skills or resources to create your own costume. That's me. And an easier to budget. When buying a cosplay, you can easily compare prices and find a costume that fits with your budget. Disadvantages. Limited, customization. Pre-made costumes may not offer the same level of customization or accuracy as a self-made cosplay. Here you go, Nate. Sizing issues. Purchased costumes may not always fit perfectly, requiring adjustments or alterations, or in one case, it's too small for you because you ordered a large, realizing it's Asian large, and usually you have to go at least one or two sizes down if you're ever ordering an Asian size. So an Asian large is actually like more like a small in America because of how smaller Asian people are compared to Americans. Or like the Western world. Potentially costly, depending on the costume and retailer. Buying a cosplay can be expensive, especially for high quality or custom-made outfits. Less personal connection. Buying a cosplay may not give you the same sense of accomplishment or personal connection to your character or as you're creating your own costume. And unlimited options. The availability of pre-made costumes may be limited for less popular or obscure characters. Making your own cosplay. The advantage is customization. Creative expression is making your own cosplay gives you the opportunity to express your creativity and learn new skills. Self-accomplishment, crafting your cosplay can provide a great sense of pride and achievement when you showcase your work at an event. Unique, a self-made cosplay is one of a kind, making your costume stand out from outside of the convention. And then more options. You can create a costume for any character, regardless of their popularity or obscurity. However, disadvantages, one of them is time-consuming. Making your own cosplay can be a lengthy process, requiring dedication or patience. Next one is require crafting skills. You know, you need to know how to sell, prop, make, and makeup. Beginners may face a learning curve. Potentially expensive. Somehow, for both of them, it can be potentially expensive, depending on if you know what the fuck you're doing. Depending on the materials and tools needed, making your own cosplay can be costly, especially for intricate and detailed costumes. Trial and error. Making your costume, you may encounter challenges or setbacks requiring problem solving and patience. And limited resources, access to materials, tools, and workplace may be limited, making it difficult to create your ideal costume.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, ideally, like, no lie, you could potentially become, like, your own version of Dress Up Darling if you really wanted to, but you got to have the experience to know what you're doing.
Yeah. They're all accurate to say, just because there have been times where I have to actually make my own, and it does take, like, many hours in the day. So especially when you're con crunching, for example, and you're literally during the week of the convention when it's, like, a couple of days left. You're literally taking those 24-hour days in order for you to actually get that done. So, yeah.
I mean, be that guy, sure. But don't be that guy.
Yeah, definitely. Oh,
especially when it's like the day of.
Also, don't be that guy that does that does last-minute cosplay work at the con. There have been those people that do that.
As I just said, yeah, literally the day of. Don't be that guy that's like hogging half the room because you're trying to finish up on a cosplay. Yeah.
Or worse, yeah. they take up cosplay repair station.
Oh god, yeah.
That's the worst. Remember that, yeah. And they just take over like all those sewing machines and all the stuff to put their cosplay together. Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah. I do have one more. I'm just going to like mention the dollar bill. I said, how much should I save up for cosplay? As we talked about, how much should I save up for an anime convention? It says for a rough estimate, a simple or adapted cosplay can be cost as low as $50 to $100, while a more elaborate professionally made costume might run between $200 to $500 or more. That sounds about right.
Well here's the thing.
You first, Nate.
Yeah, it all depends. It really all depends because, like, say, for example, you ask somebody to make your cosplay, you definitely have to be paying those high bills because, first off, the quality of the person who's making the costume is going to be good. And then obviously you got to pay for the material, the labor, everything in between. And it will really be around that range that Matt said, $250 to $500 for a costume like that.
However, I want to make a small rebuttal here. I mean, I guess it could fall under the 60 or lower category, but not everything has to be top-notch everything. There's always room for closet cosplay, and I'm sure we're all guilty of it here.
We were beginners. I mean, I remember my first cosplay 2009 doing Keiichi Ibarra from Higurashi. Look, that's easy. White polo and black pants. That's it.
No, I went the extra step with that costume. I had fake blood everywhere.
I didn't put fake blood. I should have done that.
Well, so I mean,
it's weird because, like, I was having a bat and the whites and everything in the cosplay. So it's like, oh, pretty easy. All you do is just bring a bat. It would have been great if I actually did put like fake blood somewhere around me.
Oh, but, no, I went to town on mine.
I went to town on mine.
That's what's up.
When I did High School of the Dead, I actually did go for the fake blood kind of effect on my bat and my clothes. But another good example, or like another good time that it was me and multiple of us in the blog, Nate, Fate Stay Night and Fate Zero Gathering back in 2013 when you were doing Casual Gilgamesh, I was doing Waver Velvet at the time.
Yes, I remember that.
Not everything has to come directly handmade or bought overseas. I mean, you can just go to your local Goodwill and still find.
That definitely was a closet cosplay for sure.
I mean, as we were saying, like I'm going to be quite honest with you guys, or at least I'm going to be honest with everyone listening right now. Like, I literally did Waver Velvet for under $12. Like, I literally got everything, I acquired everything for that cosplay at Goodwill up in Oregon for $12.
I mean, people will do that just to get like some random stuff from a thrift store and then make it into a cosplay, and it will all work out at the end. They just need to make some little modifications here.
Yeah. I mean, when I got Junpei 1.0, I got that at a thrift store and I had somebody modify it to make it a Gekkokan jacket. So it's, yeah, I mean, 50 to 100, it says here, but like honestly, it could be somewhere between like $0 and $100. Because Ryan said you made the guy from Fate Zero for $12.
Mm-hmm. You might even just have stuff lying around in your closet you don't even realize can make a cosplay. Like, literally, hence the reason, quote unquote, closet cosplay, or cosplay, sorry.
Now, Nate, you had an issue with one of these, correct? Because you wanted to ask ChatGPT something when it came to cosplay.
I did, and I forgot. Wait, let me think. I forgot the question actually. what was it? Oh, here's the thing. They say, for example, you're a brand new person who loves to be into cosplay. I want to ask if what's ChatGPT's recommendations for a person who is the first time in cosplaying?
So someone's just starting out fresh.
So what are you asking exactly?
So let's say what is a good. How do I put this in question?
How would you recommend a rookie to cosplay?
Not a rookie.
Or at least someone.
First timer. So as a first time cosplayer, what are your recommendations on who to cosplay?
Oh, what is a good cosplay? Hold on, I got one. I got it. What is a good cosplay to wear if it is your first time? Okay, So it says, here are some tips for selecting a good first-time cosplay. Number one, choose a character you love. Pick a character from a series or franchise. We've talked about that already. Number two, opt for simplicity. Select a character with relatively simple design, involving fewer intricate details, props, and accessories. Or accessories.
Yeah. Okay,
I think I know what Nate is asking. He wants to know exact characters.
I don't think he's going to be able to make an exact recommendation, though.
It actually does.
Oh, it does. What did they say?
You'll see when I post it in the Google Doc. But I'll post it here, and then I will read it out to you guys.
Oh, come on! Really? Really?
Yeah, so it says here some examples. So it gives you like a guy, but also says here are some examples of beginner friendly cosplays include Ash from Pokemon, L from Death Note, Naruto from Naruto.
Naruto, I would debate a little bit.
Naruto jackets are available anywhere.
Wait, Sailor Moon is tough because you have to wear that sailor uniform.
So but everybody in their mom's gonna get a Sailor uniform nowadays from Amazon.
I guess you can just buy it.
okay. A funny thought about this guy is like one of our other correspondents, but another like outlet that we talked to. One of the heads that we know was actually cosplaying as Sailor Moon at WonderCon today. No one knew who she was. Like, no joke.
That's surprising.
That's kind of sad, actually.
That's surprising. Nobody knows Sailor Moon. Like, I guess not. That's surprising.
I mean, WonderCon is not really, like, anime. Like, it's, like, all over the place.
It's kind of into that same genre, though, because you have, like, anime, cartoons, comic books, manga. You know, they're all there, so.
But for God's sake, something that's, like, 30 years old, like, you, and not to mention it's still popular of today's crowd, like, how could you not know who Sailor Moon is? Like, come on.
I'm surprised about that. If nobody recognized that, that's interesting. Misty from Pokemon, Deku, my boy. Deku, obviously. Oh, wait.
Deku really that easy, though? Like,
you can get the licensed tracksuit from GameStop or even the.
Yeah, I mean, you can get the school uniform easily.
Hot topic, you know?
But the thing is, like, the tight suit outfit, that's the one thing that people would love to see with Deku.
guys, look at the prompt that I'm getting ChatGPT to print out right now.
Anime characters that I can cosplay if I have experience in crafting. Okay.
I can craft bullets with this gunpowder.
So the first one I mentioned is Albert Elric from Full Metal Alchemist.
Nice.
You need a really big red coat.
Well, it also says the mechanical arm too as well.
Well, it's a prop. Yeah.
And the spear. Number two is Saber Fate Stay Night.
That is tough to do. That's really tough to do.
unless you do like casual outfits.
It says here experience in crafting. It doesn't say advanced level. I say experience in crafting.
Saber is
like 10 out of 10 hard experience. Like, you gotta be dedicated for that.
You need to have like a big dress for it and have that whole setup and everything. Yeah.
Or just do casual Saber.
I mean, casual's too easy, but yeah, sure. But like, if we're mentioning Saber, we're kind of like metal plates here, guys.
No, you know, you just cop out, wear the fucking, or better yet, you know what? Just go the FGO route, like put a slap on a bikini. There you go.
Why is it whenever I see a list of stuff from anime, I always see the Rose of Versailles on here? What? Here's the list.
Lady Oscar. Interesting.
No face? I mean, it's iconic. I'll give it that, but like, does it really require that much experience?
Wait.
Did you see Adam Savage's cosplay of No Face?
Oh yeah, no, that was definitely that was a grand display of No Face.
Okay, but that's easy to make though. I mean, all you do is just make that face, that mask. And then just put yourself in black. Put yourself over the black cloak. That's it.
Yeah, but you got to make it convincing. You can't just be some like.
It has to be the mask.
It's not just a mask, but it's also like, you know, the portrayal of No Face. Can't just be some like dipshit in a.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Sorry, wait, hold ahead. Up. So for some reason, it got an error and I'm getting different results because when I did this the first time, when I says, give me 10 characters I've experienced in crafting, it actually listed a 0-2 from Darling and the Frogs. Now, I just prompted to say, list 10 anime characters that I can cosplay from if I have advanced experience in crafting. One of the responses is 0-2 from Darling and the Frogs.
What the fuck? Come on.
No, but it's easy to make, though. I mean, you just need a red outfit and the horn, and you can make the horns.
The horns can be easily 3D printed. Like, the outfit is mostly just.
That's easy to make.
But wait, also, I'll post it here and tell me, because I have a big issue with this list, because it's supposed to know based upon your chat logs about what exactly you're trying to do. Because first off, it says, one of them, it says, Asuka from Evangelion, even though a minute ago we just listed the actual Ava unit itself.
Like the real machine?
The real machine. Well,
I mean, Ava 1 would be like, you're going like full out like the Gundam suits we see at like conventions these days.
Like there are those that literally have Gundam suits on, and then it's really a lot of crafting in order for you to make the Eva 1 unit, for example. So
I've seen it. I have seen it in person. It is not easy. Not to mention I have to walk in stilts all day.
I would imagine, like, yeah, walking in that is gonna be a pain in the butt, but making it is more like you need to have the right like shapes and stuff. You can 3D print everything, but it's like so many pieces to put together.
Guys, how is Sinnoh from SAO more advanced than anything I listed in the previous list?
It's not just the gun. There are actual like pieces around the entire like cosplay that would add on to it. I wouldn't say like major advanced experience, but if you're gonna be doing the gun, then that would be a completely different story.
You got it completely all wrong, dude. You have to be able. Okay, listen to me, guys. You got to be able to pull off the ass.
Leave right now.
No, you know I'm not wrong.
One thing I want to bring up. What the fuck is white blood cell in there?
That's
an easy cosplay. What the
cosplay? Cosplay? Goddamn.
Yeah, it's a classic cosplay, too. All you got to do is just white. It's just going to paint your face, you know, that color.
Okay, Ryokuma Toy depends. Okay, if it's the battle outfit, that's one thing. But if it's like her usual school outfit, not so much.
Well, it said here battle outfit, which means there's a lot of armor, which means you got to put like, you know, all the pieces of Senketsu together. I would imagine the red sword, the knife.
Blade.
Yeah, the razor blade. Yeah.
Scissor blade.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like, how advanced for the battlefield are we going, like, typical, like, first form Ryoko? Are we going, like berserk form Ryoko? Like, what are we talking here?
Berserk form would be, like, all over the place for her, if you're going to be cosplaying that.
Anything else, guys, regarding...
I just find it odd that it does actually give you a list of, like, what cosplays to make. You're a first timer or something. I was thinking like there would be an Anya cosplay or something like that for a first timer, but I guess ChatGPT is different.
I question quite a few of these for the advanced set list, but like again, like Matt said, 0-2, I would question me how? Really? Most of it is just either a cardigan or jacket. What? Asuka is kind of easy unless you're doing like the full leather like jumpsuit. White blood cells we all disagreed with. I mean, I don't know. Like this is kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know, and I think at this rate it's a good time to stop here before we go any more off the rails with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Or you know what, I do it's, this.
That was something. That was some experience. What are you? No, not that.
So
to finish off, we're going to revisit our attempt at making a yaoi romance anime that involves programmers. One of them is a member of an organization that's supportive of Taiwan. And this time it actually gives me a title. It says Cyber Love, Code of the Heart. Genre, romance, drama, slice of life.
I'm not gonna be saying this over the blog. I mean, God forbid someone actually steals this plot line and we actually have to like say this is our material.
Real Taiwan number one.
It's ChatGPT though. I could tell it to create any anime for me. I mean, give me an anime to make.
Code Geass.
Code Geass, but what?
No, hold on. Macross, but with like metal.
Huh?
Macross, but with like metal singers instead of idols.
Macross, but with.
With a metal band or something like that.
with a metal band instead of a instead of an idol singer.
All right, I got one. I got one after this.
Oh, it's actually doing one.
Oh shit!
So Matt.
Yeah.
Code Geass, but Prince Charles isn't evil.
Okay, give me a moment.
Actually, not Prince, but King Charles isn't evil.
Okay, give me a moment. I'm still printing out Jericho's Macross one.
Can we get a live view?
No, we can't. I can't do it because unfortunately, but I have the. Yeah, I guess at the dock.
It's a long prompt.
It's still going.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
This is going to be a pretty long story here.
Hey, culture!
I mean, it mentions the United Nations Spacey, so it knows what Macross is.
Wow.
Man. Actually, no. We'll do the Code Geass one, but I have another good one.
Okay.
Haruhi is Emiya, but instead of Haruhi, Kyon chooses Yuki.
So it's
it's the other
disappearance. It's a movie, isn't it?
It's disappearance of Yuki Nagato at this rate, but yeah.
All right, Jericho.
Nice.
Where is it at? Where is it at?
What is it? How did he Suzumiya, but Kyon
ends up with Yuki Nagato.
Ends up with Yuki. Oh, it's printing. It's printing, Ryan.
Oh boy.
Jericho, what do you think?
I'd watch it.
You'd watch that?
Yeah, man. With the 80s power metal instead of idol stuff? Hell yeah, let's do it.
Oh, I see it now. Oh.
I'm all for this.
There you go.
Spreading their message, hoping you need to all do listen. What?
just like powers growing. Ooh, I can't really go that high, but yeah, no, you get the point.
You know,
it's still printing.
Oh my god,
this is a long setup here.
It has five chapters. It's still going.
Oh wow.
What?
Wow. Holy shit! What did I get myself into?
Well, you said
chapter
it.
Six.
Code Geass.
Okay. No, this is the
Haruhi. Haruhi? Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Like Code Geass.
We'll do the whole print. King Charles. Is it King or Prince Charles at that point?
Emperor Charles.
Emperor Charles, yeah. Emperor Charles isn't evil.
It's still going.
What?
It's still going.
I'm sorry, chat. I'm sorry. Like, to the panel, podcast. I'm really sorry.
Everyone who's listening to the podcast, this is going to be a long.
This is gonna be a long night, guys.
Fuck it, I don't care at this rate.
What? Oh, what? Oh, come on.
No. I'm still going.
A silent melody? What?
That's what it calls it.
I don't know if I should read this or all together or just read it to myself real quick. Just
read it to yourself and let me know what you think about it. While I go ahead and create your Code Geass plot. Code Geass, but Oh, right. It's printing your code Geass.
Oh, wow. Give me a second. Still reading here. Okay. Some instances of the disappearance of Yuki Nagato. However, I would definitely either read or watch this anime.
All right. Here's your code Geass one. In the meantime, is it updating in real time of what exactly I'm prompting ChatGPT?
Yes.
Look at the one I just posted that I'm still working on.
Oh, fuck you! Fuck you! I know Tsutsume is coming up, but fuck you, Matt!
No! Wait, hold on! Yeah, I can't wait to see this now. I can't wait to see this.
He may be out of line, but he's right.
He's right. We would love to see an alternate ending here.
Oh no! I know what it's already prompting. Essentially, she don't make it.
What? Oh fuck that! No, that's sad. What the fuck? What kind of fucking ending would that be? I'm seeing it now.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of bored of the Code Geass one. That one kind of was not as good.
I'm going to piss right off in a second.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Alternate ending to SAO2 GGO. Oh.
Honestly, like, there's nothing this thing could possibly do to change that to make it really bad because of the fact that there's no involvement of Asuna really in this particular storyline. Not to mention also, wait a second. No. I see where this is going.
What?
Dude, I'm not
Kirito falls for Sinon. No, this can't happen. Please don't let this happen.
Why? Dude. It's not your girl.
Hey.
Actually, it says here, and I'll spoil it to you, it says that Death Gun is a trio.
You know, I wouldn't mind that twist.
Yeah, the third member is a former SAO player who seeks revenge on survivors for abandoning him during the Einkrad crisis.
Well, this is spoiler territory for you, Matt, so just be careful.
It's still typing?
Yeah. Mm. It's not as good, but I'll still post it anyway.
Okay.
I'm just going to go to be run out of props. Ending to Yuri on Ice. All right, Nate. What is ChatGPT going to do with Yuri on Ice?
Is this an alternate ending to?
Yes.
Oh dear.
What do you think is going to happen?
Yuri might fall into another guy?
No.
Yuri has another coach?
No.
Victor
learns he has been offered a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to coach a choreographer for a prestigious ice skating academy in Russia.
Oh. So does he leave Yuri behind?
It's still printing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, honestly, I wasn't too impressed with the alternate ending, but I mean, the trio thing was kind of an interesting outcome.
And the thing is I could I'll make it even better. Now, so I could add this one says now add the part where Kirito dumps Asuna.
All right, now you do that on purpose.
Sit on. And it does. It's printing.
Oh boy.
Nice.
Oh boy.
You done fucked up, Aaron.
You done messed up, Aaron. Now take your ass on down to Oshag Hennessy's office right now and tell him exactly what you did.
Oh no, it's actually printing, right?
Right, it's not going to be appreciated about this.
Brian's going to be pissed.
Oh, how I wish I had my soundboard available right now.
All right, Ryan, have fun.
All right, here goes. Oh, boy.
Oh, meanwhile, Nate, here is your alternative editing for Yuri on Ice.
Okay. Yuri's heartbroken. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Last one the night, boys. Last.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Oh, Victor surprises Yuri by proposing. Oh.
Last one the night, boys.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. What is this one? Oh my god.
Oh.
Please make sure. Please make it be better.
Like that to the anime or the manga?
Well, if it's the anime, then yes, please.
What? No. Whoa. They discover a community of demons and humans coexisting peacefully. Oh, yeah, we know about that. But they decide to work with them. Whoa. Elsmore is the... He's the demon dude in season 2, correct?
I think so.
I think so.
So,
oh, this is not good. I'm still leaving it. Fuck it. I'm still printing this.
Oh dear.
I'm still printing this. We'll post this document in our show notes of all of the things we're prompting ChatGPT with. And I think Ryan is gone because he's still reading that SAO alternative ending for Asuna.
Honestly, the way that it's kind of put out, I'm not too entirely mad at it. But, like, you realize that it just becomes Mother's Rosario right afterwards, right? No matter which direction this goes, it becomes Mother's Rosario right afterwards.
Okay, hold on. Now, give the plot line for Mother's Rosario, but with Synod instead. Oh, it's doing it!
You really want to twist this, don't you?
Oh, it's doing it, dude.
Oh my god, this can't be it. This can't be good.
It's doing it.
Why are you intending? You are really just trying to push my buttons tonight, aren't you?
I don't know. I'm going on this rabbit hole.
Oh my god.
Neo, you already know how far the rabbit hole goes, don't you?
It's happening. You know what, though? I think it's just... It's just giving the plot line, but it's just replacing Asuna with Synod. It's just replacing the name.
Looks like.
Yeah, looks like it.
But it's still funny as hell, though. It's still funny as hell. I'm just pissing Ryan off.
I'm not even moderately mad at this.
All right, there you go. I pray to God that we don't have any more chats. I got this a little bit different.
but in California.
In the town of Eureka?
Yeah.
Hold on. It's still working.
Yeah. It pretty much was just the end of... It was just Mother's Rosario, but Sinon replaced Asuna.
I was reading the whole gold... was it the Promised Neverland ending? And it's like a good resolution at the end?
Okay, yeah. This like one is garbage. So we'll delete that one.
So we're not going to talk about that one.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one. Okay. You know, I'm going to post this one because this one is funny as hell.
Actually, I got one for a video game, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Horizon. It's Horizon, but it takes place in modern day Vegas instead of California.
Horizon Zero Dawn?
Like Forbidden West, but it's in Vegas instead of California. Or you could say it's in the Fallout Wastelands. That would be kind of interesting, too.
But it takes place in the setting... Fallout Vegas. Oh, it's doing it.
I wasn't expecting to go like Fallout New Vegas. Oh, but, I mean, it's gonna be a wasteland.
It's combining it.
Oh, let's see how this turns out because this should be interesting. Given the fact that Forbidden West was mostly like SoCal and like part of the Bay Area, like it should be interesting to see.
Oh, it's even giving me the gameplay. I'm renaming.
Yes, there's still. I guess there's still forms of California, considering the new California Republic, but still.
Yeah.
This should be interesting.
Oh. Okay, here we go.
Forbidden Vegas.
Forbidden West, but it takes place in the Fallout New Vegas.
I mean, you play that.
Give me a moment. I'm still reading it. It'd be something I'd be interested in, but definitely this took more of the leisure from Fallout than it would more any instances of actual Horizons per se.
Next one.
There's more?
There's more.
Oh my god.
Really? We're really doing this? I mean, like, what if, like, the cast Persona 3 actually was a part of the game or continued on to the game? Like, I don't know, something along those lines.
What was that again?
Persona 5, but the Persona 3 cast, I don't know whether it teams up or is like around the events of 5. I don't know, something along those lines. Just kind of play it as you will. Unless someone else has a better idea.
Oh, it's going right now. Oh, it's going. Oh, it's giving me, it's saying like, it's like a Persona Q scenario.
Oh, so they're all like in together?
No, they're transported to alternative reality.
Oh.
Persona 5, hold on. I might be fucked here. But Persona 5, but it has Persona teaming up with the main cast. Okay, here we go. So basically, you kind of want to leverage like the Phantom Thieves are teaming up with Z's. It's going. It's also giving me a full breakdown of the gameplay too. Oh wow! It says here, combat. The turn-based system combines both the best elements of Persona 3 and Persona 5. Players can use the baton pass mechanic of Persona 5 and the tactical option of Persona 3.
It's a lot to read for that. Oof. Social links.
You know, this is a solid plot. I'm interested in something like this.
I'm changing it. I'm making the conductor the Prime Minister of Japan. I'll post that later. But no, yeah, this is what you could do with ChatGPT, and we're way over time.
Sponsored by ChatGPT.
Holy shit. So you know what that means. By the time we get off this podcast, we get to next week, guess what's going to pop up? Skynet, and we're all dead.
I blame ChatGPT.
Yes.
Blame how crazy and how quickly the world's adopting to AI or embracing AI at the moment. God forbid everything's AI.
Hey, I see those two robots from Atomic Heart. I'm cool with this.
Oh, brother.
God damn it. Oh, with that said, thank you all for listening to this podcast of us just reminiscing about our convention days somehow while talking about ChatGPT and then going off the rails by creating all these random prompts and just going through these wild scenarios of alternative endings and what ifs. And when we get back, we're going to do a live waifu tier list. So, I'll just give you some of the names that have been submitted to me. This is not the full list, but this is some of the names that have been submitted. I'll give you one from every person. So, we have...
Don't make it obvious for me.
We have... Okay. So, that we have Futaba, Chi...
I know where that came from. Wait, what?
Chi.
Hobbits, right?
Yeah, from Hobbit. Not
Hobbits. Jesus Christ, from Chobits.
Chobits.
Actually, shit. Okay, I gotta talk to some people. I'm seeing duplicates already.
Good. Right. We can actually change the list a little bit. Thank God.
Change some of it. Let's
yeah.
go.
but Chi, another Haruhi, not named Suzumiya. we'll throw in your in there too as well. So that's just some of the names that we'll be roasting in 3 weeks' time, or depending on how to get this podcast out.
But wait, is it really roasting? It's not really like roasting at this point, to some extent.
Well, some extent, but we're roasting them by putting them in a tier list. And just remember when Asuna is going up in the tier list because I'm willing and dealing. You know why?
I swear to God, better not be based fucking anything for her. I swear to God.
A suit of these nuts. And with that, I want to thank you all for listening.
B tier, I think. You really want to toss biscuits with me again over Winry, Joe? Asuna's only in B if Winry gets moved up to A.
I'll put Winry in A if you let me put Asuna in D.
Fine by me.
D it is. Asuna can suck D's nuts.
What the fuck just happened? The art of the deal, Joe. The art of the deal. Lick rocks, bitch.
And with that, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Calicop Blockcast. If you like what you heard, please follow up on podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Good.